When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They could have went for the jugular, and then they did that dumbass flea flicker.
Between dropped interceptions and weird play calling, Miami allowed Ole Miss to stay in
that football game. They went so Georgia right there. Just run the ball. Run the ball at them. And I know the last two previous to this game, Carson, I think he said 29 pass attempts or completions or something like that. But we kept saying,
well, that's what they should have done last night. They would have won by three touchdowns.
Exactly. But what I kept saying, it's like, but Carson's got to go. He's got to make some plays. Because I thought he played really good in A&M with his legs, running when he had to and things like that. He was freaking outstanding last night.
Who?
Carson Beck. I thought he was outstanding.
I thought he was outstanding. He made some throws when they needed to be, and obviously that final throw also.
I thought he was.
I think he missed a lot of guys.
He missed
though.
Some guys, you but know? I just thought overall, I thought
if
he was.
If Carson Beck's throwing the ball 37 times,
that's not good.
It's not good.
But I thought he was.
And especially when you didn't need to.
I thought he was really good last night when they needed him, and I thought that.
I thought he was good enough.
But I love me some Malachi Toney, dude. I love that young man. That screen pass they threw, and he got out of there. Defensively, they just ride with bad intentions. And the Lacey injury was real big. You know, but I was wondering, why is he slowing down?
I know.
You know, and it sucks that had to happen at that point right there. And then, I mean, we'll talk more about the game. But Trinidad Chambliss, I know they're applying for the 6-year. I'm going pro. I'm going pro.
Yeah, the way he's played the last couple games.
I'm going pro.
You'd have to think.
He's hot.
With that, exactly.
He's hot
right now. Then I'm sure he'll get an analysis on where he would get drafted.
Yeah, in this class, too.
In this class, too, which definitely helps.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I mean, get to the combine and get to these interviews and all this stuff. He's going to jump off the page with a lot of that kind of athletic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we all know what's going to be a hindrance. He's not big.
Nope.
You know, and that's going to be the –
they don't really care about that anymore.
They seem to move away from
that. Bryce Young's is not bigger than him.
Yeah, but people regretting that.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's not the best example.
Yeah, but I think.
What do you mean? He's in the playoffs this week.
Yeah, he was outstanding. He's just a damn, you know, all around just scary dude, man. And if he comes back to Ole Miss, I mean, he's going to be the Heisman favorite like next year.
And he played really well last night too, keeping plays alive. I mean, Miami's defense is just different.
They are than any defense
that Ole Miss had played yet this year. And he was really good too. He wasn't quite that like.
He wasn't Georgia good.
That crazy, like game-changing player that he was in the second half against Georgia. He was still really good. But yeah, that was a hell of a game, man. The fourth quarter specifically.
Yeah,
they're going back and forth, finally kind of airing it out a little bit. Ole Miss was able to finally get the ball moving a little bit in the passing game. And they take the lead, and Miami had to go down. I still thought with 3 minutes and 2 timeouts, they could have ran the ball on that drive too.
Yeah,
but they don't. And I don't know. They're in the national championship game, so, you know, nitpick all I want, but like it still kind of feels like some of the decision making and some of the coaching might be the reason why they don't hoist the trophy.
Well, I mean,
I think real cute.
Are we there at what Crystal Ball getting the benefit of the doubt yet?
No.
Okay. Because I'm with you on that, but I thought, you know, you could just tell the stress level for him, watching him, his mannerisms, everything on the sideline. He was like, every single play was like gut-wrenching play for him. And Ole Miss, of course, he's a calm dude.
Yeah.
Just real.
Pete Golding's a calm guy.
Just like a calm dude and everything like that. And I know the big thing now is the pass interference that wasn't. Yes, it's pass interference. You're not getting that call in that situation. Very rarely are you going to get that call. I'm a believer if it's pass interference in the first quarter, that should be pass interference. That's how I look at it. But I understand how it works.
Miami fans would also say they're owed that 23 years.
You damn
later.
Right. And that was going to be the next thing right there. You damn right. They're owed that.
Yeah.
But
that's a makeup call.
I know that's
23 years
later. That's going to be a lot of, you know, freeze framing and all that stuff as far as that goes. But yeah, I thought that just overall it was just an outstanding game. But just going back and just looking at the numbers, Miami should have just beat the doors off of them. I mean, it wasn't even, the way they were manhandling Ole Miss's defensive line. I mean, the way, you know, that they, like you said, how they were running the football. I mean, they would, and then you think about it, I think they eventually scored. That's why I hate that freaking field. I hate playing in that damn stadium. All the slipping and everything that you saw last night. I mean, I hate that damn field. But, you know, Miami We all knew that how talented they were. We've been saying it. I know they're the 10th seed, and they struggled in the mid part of the season or whatever, those back-to-back losses. But they got one of the most talented rosters in ball, especially in the damn trenches. And it was all on display last night.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And look, they're in the national championship game. So all of the debate about whether or not I know that winning when you get in doesn't necessarily justify getting in, whatever. To me, it kind of does. Like, if you get in and then you win three games, you clearly deserve to be in, right? Like, it's two losses. They beat the team that they got in over, all that stuff. That's in the past. Miami is in the national championship game for the first time since 2002.
In Miami,
which is also very cool. But it's just, we always do, is the U back, is Texas back, whatever. I don't know that there is such a thing as being back to where they were.
No.
But they're in the national championship game.
That's all
that matters. And if they win one more game, then they're national champions.
Yes, in Miami.
So they're back in that,
yeah,
which is not they haven't been there in a long time. They've even played an ACC championship game,
let alone
this in the last 20 years. So now it's cool. It's cool to see that program kind of back in the mix a little bit.
Yeah.
It's always a fun one.
You know, living down there as long as we did, man, you know, I have a lot of Miami friends and everything like that, and I promise you, it was like four Texas last night. All of them were we did it, or the emoji with the party hat on and stuff. They were so excited because I'm telling you, I was down there when that thing was that thing, you know. And like you said, they have had some heartbreaking losses. We go back to Georgia Tech. We can go back to like small schools going into Miami, beating their ass. So for them to be right here where they are, it's great for that city, great for that community, and obviously it's great for the Miami fans, the alum, and everything like that. And to have it down there, it's going to be so – because it's crazy as hell last night, this morning. I mean, obviously, you know, it's one of those things where they just have this fan base is so loyal, and it's all in one area. Now, they're spattered around the country, but that area right there, 305 and all that, it's just – they love this team more than they love any team down there in South Florida. The Heat, they love that damn team right there. And for them, they have an opportunity to win a national championship in that building, in that area. Bruh, it's going to be out of – but now they have a challenge because both of these teams, one of these teams, we'll talk about the game here tonight.
Yeah.
But they are in there. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And then they get $20 million that they don't have to split. This is the purse. $3 million, that's what I was reading this morning, that's like the travel budget. Well, they ain't got travel.
Great.
So they get to keep
or they could just stay in the nicest hotel,
you know what I mean?
In the whole state.
Yes.
And you get
three
if they want.
And you get the three bill to just sit on. Great. I'm like, that's just beautiful.
The one thing that I don't necessarily know if I agree, like I know he got hurt at the end at Georgia and now he's back in the national championship game. I don't understand like the full Carson Beck like redemption story narrative.
It is.
What do you mean? Like he was on really good teams for a long time. He threw some interceptions last year, so yeah, like it's not like Georgia fans were super happy with him. And now he's back in the national championship game. I know he got hurt and came back from
it,
so that's good.
Yeah.
But I don't understand all the, like, you know, he was like a villain or something, I guess.
You understand how it, you know
it
better
just
than
seems
me.
Made
you
up.
You know better than me what the deal
but
is.
But am I missing something?
It
seems fabricated.
It is to me.
Because even on the broadcast last night, like Herb Street and Fowler were like, and he's been through so much.
Yeah.
Like, I know he got hurt. I'm not sure. Like, getting hurt obviously sucks, and it's a big deal. But like, you know, I guess.
I never paid attention to it. I just know that he's a damn good quarterback that was at Georgia last year, got hurt. And to me, it seemed like it was a mutual parting of ways.
It was. Yeah, well, he was going to the NFL.
Yeah, he was going to NFL. So Georgia was like, okay. I know Georgia they tried to get him back when he decided but it was more or less we knew that he was going to go to Miami. But yeah, I don't think it was any hard feelings towards
him. He's smiling for the first time in
years.
Yes,
he's got his joy back playing football.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, he's winning.
Yeah, yeah, well, winning. He also didn't lose at Georgia much.
Yeah, but he
was 24-3.
Yeah, he's winning.
Yeah,
yeah,
which he always did.
Yeah, which he's always done. But I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Sure.
That's fine. I'm happy for him to have an opportunity to play for a championship because he's got two of them, but he just
he wasn't
the starter right then. So to have your own ring and then again to bring it to that place right there, man. I mean, it's been so long since that fan base, that area has felt the championship, man. So if they can find a way to get it done at home, bro, that party is going to be like nothing seen before.
Yeah, no, I think that their pass rush is going to be able to get to either quarterback, whether it's Oregon or Indiana, better than they got to Chambliss, because Chambliss is just Mr. Mobile.
Yeah.
So they'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
Just hand it to Fletcher, man.
dude.
Hand it to Fletcher
beast,
and
throw screens to Malachi.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's not.
And throw the screen to Malachi.
Don't be doing all this cute. Like, one thing I learned last night is I didn't know that intentional grounding goes out the window when it's a flea flicker.
Yeah.
Because you've given the ball up, then you can't do that. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Learn that rule.
I'm like, why do it right then?
Because they can't
You're
help themselves.
Dashing them.
And that's why and again, it's ridiculous to say this about a team that won the semifinal to go to the national championship. That's why I don't trust them. I think both teams that, whoever it is, whether it's Oregon or Indiana, I certainly hope it's Indiana, I think they're both better coached than Miami is.
I agree.
And I think that they're going to be a little bit more, like if you're doing that kind of stuff in the national championship game, which they probably will because they did it in the fourth quarter last night for no reason, I think it comes back to bite you in the ass if you're trying to do that stuff.
That's a possibility, right? But I mean, still, great game. Awesome play by Carson to you know, nothing was there. Malachi was sitting there a little bit. He didn't want to force it in there.
They didn't think he was going to do that, did they?
He got up out of there. He got up out of there.
Nobody even paid attention to him.
Yeah, man.
The one guy fell down and didn't even try to get up. And like, Carson Beck's was like, oh, all right.
Oh, I'll just walk in there.
I guess I'll just go score a touchdown.
I'll just go.
I thought he was going to throw a pick. I really did. On that final drive, but I was just like, especially on first down, they're dropping back every single time. I was like, they're just asking for trouble here, man.
Run the damn ball.
Yeah, you got it done. They're in the national championship game.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Three receivers bunch to the left. Beck is looking that way. And still looking. Takes off running. Carson Beck with his legs puts Miami on top. What a drive.
Yeah, there you have it. That was the game-winning touchdown last night in the semifinal game, first game of the semifinals between the Miami Hurricanes and the Ole Miss Rebels. Carson Beck takes it in for the score there, and they tack on the extra point. They win 31-27. Ole Miss, by the way, and I only had, I think, like 18 seconds, right?
Yeah.
In that final drive, moved down the field. But it looked like they were going to do it again.
Shoom, shoom.
Those guys, I don't know. Both of these teams kind of feel like teams of destiny, and now Miami is in the actual championship game. But to get to the 35-yard line and actually have a throw, not a Hail Mary even, like a throw at the end zone, was pretty fun to see. That was a wild football game last night.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those things where you're just like, damn, whoever has the ball last. And when Trinidad got the ball last after Carson scored, I'm like, he's going to put him in position.
Yeah.
He's going to put him in damn position to have an opportunity to win this football game because he's a damn good player, man.
He's so good.
He's a damn good player, Bunk. And that's why I was like, if I'm him, man, I might have to go.
Yeah.
I might have to go.
Get the evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, the waiver and all that other stuff, he's going to come back. All right.
Oh, yeah. He'll get another year of eligibility
to play.
I just wonder, based on where they project him to get drafted, he might get more money next year to be the quarterback at Ole Miss.
Why wouldn't you? If I'm him, I appreciate y'all. I said I was going to stay. If y'all did this for me, yeah. Now, because I know he's not making no money because he was brought in into
not
the
yet.
Backup. He's seeing what
he was in a commercial last night.
He's seeing what these dudes getting on the open market. Oh yeah, let me hold it because I know I said that I wouldn't transfer. Now the transfer portal is coming up. The end's coming up really quick, so you got to make a decision pretty soon. But hey,
we got our guy back.
Hey,
is it really back if they don't leave?
No.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, y'all know that that the quarterback from Texas Tech and you know the guy from Washington decided to go back, and we'll talk about that. Yeah, they got about four.
Yeah.
Maybe 4.5.
Or more.
Yeah.
I was in the semifinal.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do.
Lacey's coming back. I don't know how many of those guys on the defensive line are coming back. They got some talent on that.
They got dudes coming in too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're gonna be just fine.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Ole Miss has kind of built themselves into a nice little program right now,
man.
Which is really cool to see. And obviously that's the best year they've ever had, as far as they've made it. And seems like Pete Golding is the right guy for the job.
Yeah.
Very calm in those situations. So they come up short. Now, the difference to me between last night and the Georgia game was, had Ole Miss found a way at the end, like, that would have been a – they would have stolen it,
yes.
Right?
No, they,
like,
they,
whoever won the Georgia-Ole Miss game deserved to win because yes. both teams played amazing and yes. it was back and forth. Miami deserved to win that game last
yes,
night.
Miami
played way
Miami
better.
Kicked, they had, yeah. I mean, but yet they just couldn't get away from them.
Yep.
And that was the thing. You're
doing silly stuff.
You're like, oh, my God, you're dominating this football game, but you just can't pull away from them. Then when, in the, when Miami comes back, takes the lead on the – I'm sorry, Ole Miss takes the lead. Like, Lacy dropped the ball. He wasn't. He was going to get tackled. Right then and there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, so you take the points in the field goal and you're like, they just let them hang around. You yep. let them hang around, bull jiving around, and you let this dangerous Ole Miss team. But then the one thing Miami didn't do is they didn't go away from the run until they felt like they had. No, they went away from the run when we felt like they didn't have to go for it.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Right then and there,
didn't.
They were still trying to run the football because they were, I'm talking about gashing them.
Yeah. If Carson Beck throws the ball 37 times in the national championship game, they're probably going to lose. I would hand it to Mark Fletcher 37 times. That's what
they
I
ran,
would do.
But they ran the ball.
Did he get hurt?
But they ran the ball 50 times last night.
They did.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they ran
but
it.
But Carson ran it 12, yeah. kind of. Yeah. Like, that, you know, they ran it really like 35 times. But, yeah, more. Run it more.
Yeah.
You
man.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you watched it. You felt like they needed to run it more. Anyway, they won the game. They're in the national championship. Congratulations to them. Indiana and Oregon play tonight here in Atlanta. We will get back into that game as the show goes on. The Damon Williams is staying at Washington. All right. Cool. Good. I've got thoughts.
We'll okay, to, I was like, we'll I mean, really?
Well, but I didn't, you know, that was kind of my thought when he was leaving. I was like, oh, bummer. At least that's what I said on the radio.
Yeah, I know you're foul-mouthed bunk there.
Well, I did say he might be a word that I wasn't supposed to say on the radio. Turns out he's not. So, great. I didn't say he was. I just said it's possible that he is. And based on this, it seems like he's not. It's funny how all it takes is somebody going to your school. But that's
amazing.
Also all it is, right? Amazing. Like, I don't know anything about Damon Williams other than that he plays quarterback for the school that I like. So he decided he didn't want to play quarterback for the school that I liked. All right. He doesn't anymore.
Does his agent hire
now
him back?
Now he does again, so now I like him again.
Does he go back to his agent? Does his agent? Well, you hire your agent. Did he take him back on as a client?
Yeah, they'll mend the
they'll
fence.
They'll mend the
fence. Yeah, they'll fix. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how you can go back in that locker room yeah. after that. But
I'll tell you what I'll tell you, Andy.
Yeah, it's a forgiving place.
Yep.
Especially if you're the best player on the team.
Yep.
All right. Oh, the Trae Young trade became official just about yes. 10 minutes ago, by the
yes.
way. Because it had been reported, and I mean, it was happening.
Yes.
They even asked the players about it after the game yes. in the locker room the other night. Although Quinn Snyder said he couldn't talk about it. The Hawks just did tweet, it has been confirmed. Trae Young is officially headed to Washington. CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert are going to join the team in Denver tonight.
You read his letter?
I did.
Okay.
You want to dissect it no. word for word?
Oh, please no. Please God no.
Yeah, look, I mean, he ended it with another day, another opportunity, we move. So,
yeah.
Or started it with that. I don't know. But yeah, he's, you know, I don't want to do that.
No, okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Here's Arthur Blank from yesterday. This is not from the press conference. This is from the one-on-one interview with Mike Conti where Mike asked him to specify the difference between president of football operations and president of football.
Sometimes people think of operations as, well, you know, it's the administrative stuff, it's the backroom stuff, it's what have you. This is everything that impacts football, which is, you know, everything a GM does, everything a head coach does, and everything that the organization does to support the team, which is a lot of things. Includes training, includes medical, includes facilities, includes a variety of other things. So it's giving that one person the responsibility, the final say, the final responsibility on how our team is going to be visioned, how it's going to operate, who's going to be held accountable, and holding them accountable for the kind of performance that Atlanta should expect from us.
It's your job. You're the owner. All right. Okay. But anyways, so we found out that it's president. Do not say anything about operations. It's the president of football.
Yep.
Something that nobody in the league has. They
right?
have different okay. stuff for it, yeah. But I think that, you know, when you talk about the facilities and all this other stuff, I'm like Matt going to be in charge of picking the Gatorade or toilet paper and, you know, what the diets are and everything? I don't know.
I would guess if he wanted to change the Gatorade flavor. If Matt was hired, because he still isn't
yes.
officially hired.
Yes.
But if Matt Ryan becomes the president of football,
yeah.
I would guess if he wanted the Gatorade to be yellow, it would be yellow.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
They want they want red towels.
Ultimately, it's this. Like, as much as you and I are both sort of like unimpressed with the shuffle, like, it still boils down to the same stuff. And the the structure's not that different than it's been. Like, now there's just one other guy who's the president of football. There's still the person above him who's the CEO of the whole thing, and that's Beatles, right?
But that's what I'm saying. He's a CEO of everything, but Matt don't answer to him.
Right. Matt answers to Arthur Blank.
Yes.
So that is different. That's new. Right. That's different.
Right.
The GM and the coach will answer to him. Well, okay. We've always had a GM and a coach.
Right.
So that's not really like a new structure. I do like if you're going to focus on any of the change and the talk of the change being positive, who knows if it is or not. We'll see.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons why you and I aren't super moved by it is because it's exactly what we've been saying for years, which is there's nothing wrong with the organization. The Falcons organization from a business standpoint is fine.
Yeah.
The football operation is the problem.
Yes.
It seems like they realize that and are focusing all of their attention on the football operation. Yeah. We didn't hear anything yesterday about anything other than that. There was no, whether they're changing the jerseys or not, they didn't talk about it. That's great. There's no buildings nice, whatever. Like, none of the nonsense that sometimes gets brought up was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the football, which, yeah. that's all we've ever criticized but is the football. Yeah,
that's the most important thing. But I think.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been.
But, I don't agree with that. How has it not been?
Because it's every time they tell us about stuff, they're always telling us about other stuff. Now, again, I think they hired Arthur Smith to win football games.
Right.
I think they hired Terry Fontenot to put together a team, which again is why I'm not that moved by it.
Right,
because
right.
The goal is still the same.
Right.
And people's jobs are still the same.
Right.
But they focused on it in a press conference.
Oh.
That's the difference.
Okay. But
is why I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm
I need to see this thing, and when all the pieces there, you know, meaning here the hirings, I need to see all those, because I know that they say Matt's talking to my man out there in Chicago, their general manager, they're really close buddies and everything like that. He's helping him with the hiring process. I'm like, why would I would take what would you look for in a candidate? I don't need you to help me find no damn general manager. You might try to sabotage me because we're in the same division, but I don't believe that would happen. But yeah, that's going to be the next order of business. And again, take your time with it. You know, I don't think it's something that you need to be rushed. I mean, obviously it seems like they want to get this president get the president in place first. They want to get this done, and then they go on about the hiring of.
Well, they have to.
Or interviewing.
If those guys answer to him, he has to be there before they
hire. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I keep laughing about requests for this and this and this. I mean, obviously you can request it. They have to accept the request and all those different things that you have to sit down and do all the interviewing of the head coach, GM. I'm just curious, is he the one that's hiring him?
I don't know.
Is he going to be the one that hires
him? I don't know. How am I supposed to know that?
I don't know. I mean, it's more or less just a question. But we have Joe Patrick here.
No, Joe might know.
Yeah, Joe might
know. Again, I don't know. I mean, it's a new role in the power structure. Hopefully it fixes it. You know, I don't know if it will. Joe knows, though. He was question number two at the press conference yesterday, which.
Joe's so damn big time right now. I didn't recognize him with the ball cap. You know, Joe's usually suited and booted. Yeah, sports coat and pocket square. Right.
We'll talk to Joe coming up next here on the Midday Show at the Andy and Randy Sports Radio 92.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Can end the game. All right, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle kickoff the noon hour. We'll look ahead to all six of the playoff games on Wild Card Weekend. Two on Saturday, three on Sunday, one on Monday night. How many of them? Lots of them.
Yeah.
Lots of them are going to be on this very radio station as well.
Yeah, man.
Both tomorrow, all three on Sunday, except for the Chargers New England game be on WAOK because the Hawks play the Warriors. And then Monday night, too. So we got you.
Yeah, we got you
for NFL football.
We got you. It says right here, Sports Radio 929 Game has all the action of Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. Make sure you join us Saturday starting at 4, Sunday starting at 12:30, and Monday starting at 7:30 for live play-by-play. Of every playoff game, and it's brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com.
Thank you.
NFL play action. On Sports Radio 99, the game, home of Atlanta's of the NFL on Westwood One. So, yeah, every day, all day, we got you.
We got you. Now, hopefully next year the Falcons will be a part of – actually, it would be great if they're not because they have a first-round bye with the number one seed. But let's not get crazy.
Let's just be wild card weekend.
Let's play football on wild card weekend. Yeah. Joe Patrick's with us now to tell us how that's going to happen.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe Patrick, normally on Thursdays, but was a little preoccupied yesterday.
It was a hectic Thursday, wasn't
all
it?
With all the goings on. Number two out of the gate. Ooh,
how about that? That shocked me.
Who'd you have to shank to move up on the list? D-Led was like eighth, so yeah. I don't know how you jumped him like that, but good job.
He's coming for him, man.
I was telling these guys, the producers in the producer room over there, it's like, you know, when you ask
the guys.
The nameless
the guys.
Producers.
Damn.
Well, there's,
the
there's,
guys.
No, I like that.
There's a whole Knox Knox was in there earlier.
The guys in the producer room.
Once there's three people behind the glass, then it's just you become like a nameless, you know.
Stay on sports coat on. He's just be forgetting about folks.
Now this is good. We've been we've been making everybody feel equal too much lately. We gotta keep this power structure in place. The nameless faces producers on the other side of the glass.
Of course, Bo and Abe. But no, when you ask a question that early in a press conference, you just kind of have to ask the boring, bland, broad-based question, which is, you know, why you fired the coach and GM.
Yeah, you can't get, like, really weird specific.
Right, went into the Sportology report, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's the real juice.
That's true.
But, how much of that, I want to say, affected his decision? The Sportology, meaning they basically said, yeah, you need to fire these guys.
I think it was really impactful. I don't know if it actually ultimately impacted the final decisions. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I don't know, but I think based on the pretty dramatic moves that they're making, especially when it comes to this president of football, like that to me is the one that kind of speaks to, a response that they got back from that consulting group saying, like, you have to make big changes here. Like, you got to make structural changes to the way that the front office is operating. And so that to me was the biggest impact from it.
All right. So what is the president of football?
Yeah.
What is his job, Joe?
To me, it sounds like it's going to be kind of a visionary for, and I kind of refer to it as like a czar of football, basically, where you're like, which normally is the owner, right? Or someone like that. But right. I think Arthur Blank, he said, like, I have authority, but I don't necessarily have the requisite knowledge that somebody else might that could kind of oversee the football operation. And I think that that's where, you know, someone like Matt Ryan, you know, his name seems perfect for this kind of role because, yes, he does not have the technical administrative experience that you need in a GM that is, you know, doing the fine details of the Excel sheets and all that, but he clearly knows what a successful and unsuccessful football team looks like and what ingredients kind of make up those two things. And so I kind of think that, you know, if it is Matt Ryan, it's going to kind of be an extension of the owner almost that is overseeing the football operation. And then the GM will be underneath him, but still doing, and Arthur Blank said this, that person has to, you know, have the authority to do their own job. You can't just, you know, no one worth their while is going to come in and then cede all their authority to somebody above them. So right. The GM will still have their normal GM job. And then the president of football will be an advisor, a culture setter, that kind of person.
It also just kind of seems like because it's a new role. It's also not, I mean, president of football operations exist in franchise, but president of football specifically, and exactly what we're talking about here is a new thing. In the context of the Falcons, and we don't know that it's Matt Ryan, but it seems like it probably will be. It kind of seems like it only could be, right? Like if Arthur Blank is going to admit like that I don't know this or I don't know that, which I think, you know, I think it's also commendable to kind of know what you don't know and say maybe this person that has this experience knows better than me. It's got to be somebody that you trust.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talked about Matt like, you know, like views him like a son.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just have an open search for this job and have a couple interviews with a guy and all of a sudden be like, yeah, I think I'm going to turn over my franchise to this guy.
Right.
I think it has to be a guy like that. And in the context of the Falcons, no one's done more winning as an individual than Matt Ryan has.
Yeah.
So you know, again, that's no guarantee that it's going to work. It's new. Hopefully it does. But it kind of feels like everything that you're describing, there's only one guy that could do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, Matt Ryan has, well, there's been some criticism for Matt Ryan, like, oh, well, he doesn't have the experience of doing this or that. He doesn't have the expertise, you know, of doing some of these things. But again, that's kind of taken away by this title that has been, you know, was very much specified by Arthur Blank yesterday, saying it's not an operations job. It's just a president of football. And what's the difference between a Matt Ryan versus a Phillip Rivers, you know, a quarterback who highly successful, played in the same era, et cetera, et cetera. Matt Ryan knows the Falcons. Mm-hmm. He knows that building inside and out.
Right.
He knows exactly. He could have written that Sportology report, probably. You know, like he
we all could have. Well, which is the funny thing.
But
they
he certainly
paid a lot of money to do stuff we've been telling him to do for like three years.
Exactly. But I think Matt Ryan, like, he really understands, you know, probably some of the issues that this franchise has been dealing with while they've been in this playoffless run. So, again, I agree with you. I think that that's why he is kind of the person. It almost seems a little frivolous to be going through some of these other interviews with potential candidates, but, you know, they have to do it because those are some of the rules and stuff like that. But
we said it yesterday because I'm thinking, like, if it's not an administrative type thing, then why do they have to go through this process?
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? That was just my thought process.
I guess just every front office job, and it's technically a front office job. Even though they invented it, still has to adhere to the, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So how do you think this goes down as far as, in your opinion, your thought process after, because it seems like they want this position first before they do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's going to be like the old A, B, y'all meet each other, y'all make magic happen, or you think you'll let A, which I would think would hopefully be the general manager, unless it's an established head coach, go pick B?
B being the head coach?
Yes.
So what I think will happen is I think that this president of football will probably be hired, you know, sometime, and I'm just guessing, just spitballing here, but I would guess sometime like back half of next week, I would think. You know, they're getting plenty of guys. They've already interviewed a couple yesterday. They've got, you know, three more, I think, on the docket today that includes Matt Ryan. Still have, you know, done a good amount of interviews and been able to kind of suss that out, get that done relatively early. That will be the first, you know, position that's hired. And then I think it will be, you know, frankly, just based on some of the reporting that's come out with Matt Ryan's relationship with Ryan Poles and therefore, you know, his assistant, Ryan Poles' assistant there, Ian Cunningham in Chicago, I think that probably gets concluded pretty quickly as well. And I think that the head coach is probably the last hire to be made of these three hires. And they've already said that the president of football will be the first. And then it will be, I think, you know, Matt Ryan, or assuming he's the president of football, will basically be the one who is leading the interview process with these head coaches. And again, I think that's great. Like for the Falcons, like to have a former quarterback where you've got a quarterback, you know, issue that you got to suss out and make sure that you get a coach that can work with the quarterback who's here or have a plan for the quarterback position. I would want no one else to kind of help lead that problem solving mission than a former quarterback and Matt Ryan.
I also just like the idea, assuming that this is what's going to happen, of empowering an individual to be the person mm-hmm. who's in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the past, you know, from what it sounds like with the Raheem hiring process, there was a number of different people that were involved, and maybe some people like this guy and some other people like that guy. And there was a yacht meeting with Bill Belichick. And then there was other interviews that happened. And then Raheem emerged. And you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, and I think Rich McKay plays into this where, like, he was involved in the press conference that followed, you know, followed Arthur Smith's firing a couple years ago.
Right.
And
But they were still saying he was, kind of stepping back from responsibilities. But what responsibilities did he have and what was he moving to? And I think that them, the Falcons, putting just Arthur Blank up there solo yesterday spoke to a bit of a different vision. Now, not to say that Arthur Blank is obviously going to be running things, but that they are going to be a little bit more have that top-down structure, you know, where you have that visionary at the top that will be the president of football and that can hopefully lead to some better results. And specifically as it relates to that consultant's report, like some of the things they mentioned in there was, you know, like the internal communications is maybe not as structured or could be kind of sharpened up, some language like that. But I think that potentially with this new front office structure, you can address some of these things that were brought up in that report, some of which we know and some of which I'm sure Arthur Blank was, not going to go so far enough as to share in the press conference yesterday.
What is the success rate of these type whatever? Like, is it one of these things where, like, the recommendations that they give you, how many times does it work? Do they have a hit?
You know better than me, Randy.
I'm so curious about that. Like this specific group we're talking about.
I would love to know their, like,
I would love to.
Their shooting percentage.
I would love to know
their completion
that
percentage.
Right there. Like, the.
You're talking about with Sportology specifically? Yeah.
I would love that. I would love, like, who else used them?
Right.
You know, like,
besides
the Falcons.
That's a good question. I don't know.
When they did the Atlanta United.
Yeah, because we know this is second or third time using them.
Yeah.
It wasn't good the first or the second time. So, I mean.
This is the Falcons' second or third time using Sportology?
They used them with Atlanta United, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, yes. They said that they've been working with the soccer side as well because,
where are they located?
Which, again, they don't tell you what to do.
I know.
They just provide you with all this info.
They give you
and
their
then you have to use it.
Yeah, so maybe another info.
So Sportology was founded by one of the executives from Chelsea in the Premier League. He's an American, I believe. Mike Ford, I believe, is his name. But then the other one is Rick Smith, yes. I believe, yes. the former Texas. GM from the Texans.
And when I heard his name, I was like, oh, he going to try to tell him to put himself in. when I heard Rick was, I was like,
I don't know.
Oh, Rick, why don't you just take the damn job?
Seems like Rick has a pretty good gig now, though.
Hell yeah.
You know, like, well, there's no wins and losses.
That's the other thing we've been joking about, like with Philip Rivers, you know, having his resurgence. Like, what if Matt Ryan's plan is like, I got a plan for you. Yeah, he does like the Rick Thorne thing from Major League where he just rips open his vest and I signed myself, you know. That's not going to happen. But.
Well, there was at the end of the season, remember, like Matt had given some weird cryptic answer on the podcast where it was like, I watch and I think this and everybody
I could
took
do it.
It. Right. Everyone's like, well, he's coming back.
Yeah.
He'll be the bridge quarterback.
You know what? I kind of, you know.
He quickly squashed that, by the way.
But what I took from that was that he still at least had some competitive juice. You know, like he wants to be in the mix a little bit. I think that that's probably for a lot of these former players, it's something that never leaves them. It's something that drove them their entire career, and I think that that's probably the thing that they miss the most.
Just like, because look, I mean, it's really easy to get bogged down in the, I don't know, in the frustration of all of this. We're doing it again. It's the fourth coach the fourth coach we've talked about in 7 years. It'll be a new general manager, be the third general manager we've covered in 7 years. But the criticism every time this happened was they need to take it a step further. They've tried the roster reconstruction. It didn't work. They've tried new coaches. It didn't work. They tried different general managers. It hasn't worked. They have to go up the ladder if they're actually going to address this problem, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll find out whether or not it actually works. But the thing that the fan base wanted to happen was a cleaning out of the power structure, of the front office. And if you take them at their word, Rich McKay's over there now because he's too busy to be over here.
Yep.
So if that's –
Is he over there because he's too busy?
I think there's probably a number of factors. I would imagine the Sportology report maybe mentioned that too. I know they said yesterday that it didn't, but all right. If you're going to give feedback to an organization, here's the person that the fans are most averse to. Maybe move him out.
At least from an optics perspective, it makes total sense.
Exactly.
You know? And again, Matt Ryan's a trusted figure.
Exactly. Like, if you're just doing a PR exercise, this is pretty smart public relations.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the guy that everyone gets mad at. Replace him with a guy that the majority of the fan base loves. Empower him and allow him to set the strike.
And I think there's been some cynicism that it's nothing more than a PR exercise. But I think what we heard from Arthur Blank yesterday, I think that there's going to be some definite, like, actual structural things that change when you have, if it is Matt Ryan, at the top of the organization.
I also will go back to the same thing we've always said when we talk about this. You know, all that, I know all that stuff matters and I know it's a part of it and all of that, but if they don't get the right coach and the right quarterback situation, none of it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have, I don't know who the greatest president of football or president of football operations ever is, but if they could be in charge, if you don't get that other stuff right, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
So
that's right.
There you have it. Hopefully they do.
Let's hope.
You think they will?
I'll believe it when I see it. You know?
Yes.
I know, me too.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of where we're at. All right. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.